The U.S. Supreme Court heard its latest abortion case today, reacting in a way that could largely be called inscrutable. At issue is a clash between federal and state law about how pregnant women must be treated in the emergency room, specifically whether a state may ban medical termination of a pregnancy if the woman's health, but not her life, is in grave danger. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
At the center of the case is a law enacted by Congress in 1986 to stop hospitals from turning away uninsured patients and dumping them on other hospitals. It's known as the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, or EMTALA. The law says that as a condition for receiving Medicare funds, hospital emergency departments must stabilize a patient whose life or health is at risk, and if the hospital can't do that, it must provide safe transport to a facility that can. But Idaho and a few other states have now enacted laws that ban emergency abortions aimed at saving the health, but not the life, of the mother. Today, Idaho Solicitor General Joshua Turner defended his state's law, declaring that the state is entitled to make decisions about the practice of medicine. But he faced some unusually angry questions from the court's three liberal justices, all women, with an occasional assist from conservative Justice Barrett, who is firmly opposed to abortion. Justice Sotomayor, herself a diabetic, led the questioning.
There is no state licensing law that would permit the state to say, don't treat diabetics with insulin. Treat them only with pills. Federal law would say you can't do that.
Justice Kagan asked Turner what in the federal law says that a woman has to be at death's door before doctors treat her with a necessary emergency abortion to stabilize her condition.
That understanding is a humble one with respect to the federalism role of states. That's the primary care providers for their citizens, not the federal
government. It may be too humble for women's health, you know.
Pummeled with questions, Idaho's Turner refused to commit to which life-threatening conditions could be legally treated with abortions. Under state law, could an abortion take place to preserve a woman's organs, her fertility, to save her from future debilitating kidney disease or strokes? Turner's ambiguous answers prompted this from Justice Barrett, a mother of seven who has herself had miscarriages.
I'm kind of shocked, actually, because I thought your own expert had said below that these kinds of cases were covered. And you're now saying they're not? Well, you're hedging.
Chief Justice Roberts asked who would make the decision, other than the doctor, on what constitutes a permissible emergency abortion. And what would the standard be? Turner replied that there is no objective standard, just a subjective one. Arguing the other side of the case on behalf of the Biden administration, Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar faced an equal barrage of questions, mainly from the conservative justices. Could a woman's psychological health be justification for an emergency abortion? No, replied Prelogar. Three justices, Roberts, Barrett, and Gorsuch, all asked if EMTALA provides exceptions for doctors or hospitals with religious objections to abortion. Prelogar replied that conscience objections apply to both, but she added,
HHS said that it had never come across a hospital that had a blanket objection to providing life-preserving and health-preserving pregnancy termination care.
Several conservative justices also sought to flesh out what limit there might be to laws that condition federal aid. Barrett and Gorsuch, for instance, asked if gender reassignment surgery could be banned at hospitals as a condition for receiving federal money. Prelogar replied that in her view, Congress has that power. And Justice Alito, author of the decision overturning Roe v. Wade, made this observation.
We've now heard, an hour and a half of argument, and one potentially very important phrase in EMTALA has hardly been mentioned, and that is EMTALA's reference to the woman's unborn child.
The statute did nothing to displace the woman herself as an individual with an emergency medical condition when her health is in danger. And in many of the cases you're thinking about, there is no possible way to stabilize the unborn child. It's inevitable that the pregnancy is going to be lost. But Idaho would deny women treatment in that circumstance, even though it's senseless.
A decision in the case is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.